Okay, and welcome back. Hour number three. I got in the mail today, someone was kind enough to forward one of the best papers I have seen on the current state of the AI revolution. And I'm going to spend part of this hour reading this. We're going to go slowly. It's very well written. I assume it was written by a human, but it could have been written by AI. I don't know. It's that good. It tells us where we are and where we're going. And where we are, you people have a pretty good idea if you've been listening to these updates. But if you haven't, I can all but guarantee you, you have no idea where we are right now. It's stunning. Now, the author of the paper is named Matt Schumer, S-H-U-M-E-R. It's entitled, Something Big is Happening. Yes, and it's very good. I'm going to step into it a little bit here. Let's see. He's a software engineer, and he says, here's the thing nobody outside of tech quite understands yet. The reason so many people in the industry are sounding the alarm right now is because this change already happened to us. We're not making predictions. We're telling you what already occurred in our own jobs and warning you that you're next. For years, AI had been improving steadily. I think we all agree on that, right? Big jumps here and there, but each big jump was spread out, spaced out enough so that you could absorb them as they came. Then, in 2025, things changed, and new techniques for building these AI LLMs, large models, unlocked at a much faster pace of progress. Suddenly, things got to be too fast for most, and then faster again. Each new model wasn't just better than the last, it was better by a wider margin, and the time between new model releases was shorter. This is what I've talked about many times, overwhelm. People can't assimilate what's going on now before something even more amazing is released. They just don't have it. It's not their fault. It's too much. So Mr. Schumer goes on to say, I was using AI more and more, going back and forth with it less and less, watching it handle things I used to think required my expertise as a software engineer. But then on February 5th, two major AI labs released new models on the same day. GPT 5.3 Codex from OpenAI and Opus 4.6 from Anthropic, the makers of Claude, one of the main competitors to ChatGPT. And something clicked. Not like a light switch, more like the moment you realize the water has been rising around you and is now at your chest. He says, I am no longer needed for the actual technical work of my job. Now, this guy's got a good job. He's very, very accomplished. He's an engineer. And he says, again, I am no longer needed for the actual technical work of my job. I describe what I want built in plain English, and it just appears. Not a rough draft I need to fix, the finished product. I tell the AI what I want. I walk away from my computer for 4 hours, come back to find the work done. Done well. Done better than I would have done myself. No corrections needed. A couple of months ago, just a couple of months, think about that, I was going back and forth with the AI, guiding it, making edits, but now I just describe the outcome and I leave. Let me give you an example so you can understand what this actually looks like in practice. I tell the AI, I want to build this app. Here's what it should do. Here's roughly what it should look like. Figure out the user flow, the design, all of it. And it does. It writes tens of thousands of lines of code. Then, and this is the part that would have been unthinkable just a year ago, it opens the app itself. It clicks through the buttons. It tests the features. It uses the app the way a person would. And if it doesn't like how something looks or feels, it goes back and changes it on its own. It iterates like a developer would, fixing and refining until it's finished and it's satisfied. Only once it has decided the app meets its own standards does it come back to me and say, it's ready for you to test. And when I test it, it's usually perfect. That's how apps are being created now. Think about it. I don't think there are going to be apps, frankly, around. People are just going to verbally iterate what they want, and whatever they're using will produce it. He goes on to say, I'm not exaggerating. That is what my Monday looked like this week. But it was the model that was released last week, ChatGPT 5.3 Codex, that shook me the most. It wasn't just executing my instructions. It was making intelligent decisions. It had something that felt, for the first time, like judgment, like taste, the inexplicable sense of knowing what the right call is that people always said AI would never have. But this model has it, or something very close to it, close enough that the distinction is starting not to matter. I've always been early to adopt AI tools, but the last few months have shocked me. These new AI models aren't incremental improvements. Now, this is key, so listen. I'm going to repeat that. He says, these new AI models are not incremental improvements. This is a different thing entirely. And here's why this matters to you, even if you don't work in tech. The AI labs made a deliberate choice. They focused on making AI great at writing code first, because building AI requires a lot of code. If AI can write code, that very code, it can help build the next version of itself, a smarter version, which writes better code, which builds an even smarter version yet. See? This is a tsunami of geometric advancement. Making AI great at coding was the strategy that unlocks everything else. That's why they did it first. My job started changing before yours, not because they were targeting software engineers. It was just a side effect of where they chose to aim first. This was a conscious decision. They've now done it, and they're moving on to everything else. The experience that tech workers have had over the past year of watching AI go from helpful tool to does my job better than I do. That's the experience everyone else is about to have. Law, finance, medicine, accounting, consulting, writing, design, analysis, customer service, all of it. Not in 10 years. The people building these systems say 1 to 5 years. Some say even less. And given what I've seen in just the last couple of months, I think less is more likely. Someone says, but I tried AI and it wasn't that good, end quote. I hear this constantly. I understand it because it used to be true. It's not anymore. If you tried ChatGPT in 2023 or early 2024 and thought, quote, this makes stuff up, end quote, or this isn't that impressive, you were right. Those early versions were genuinely limited. They hallucinated. They confidently said things that were nonsense. That was 2 years ago. In AI time, that is ancient history. The models available today are unrecognizable from what existed even 6 months ago. Unrecognizable. The debate about whether AI is, quote, really getting better or hitting a wall, which has been going on for over a year, is over. It's done. Anyone still making that argument either hasn't used the current models, has an incentive to downplay what's happening, or is evaluating based on an experience from 2024 that is no longer valid. Just not relevant at all. I don't say that to be dismissive. I say it because the gap between public perception and current reality is now enormous. And that gap is dangerous because it's preventing people from preparing. Part of the problem is that most people are using the free version of AI tools. Now, this is important. You tap into everything from Grok to Claude. It doesn't matter. You're using the free versions. I'll repeat that. Part of the problem is that most people are using the free version of AI tools. The free version is over a year behind what paying users have access to. A year. Judging AI based on free tier ChatGPT is like evaluating the state of smartphones by using a flip phone. The people paying for the best tools are actually using them daily for real work, and they know what's coming. I think of my friend who's a lawyer. He keeps telling me things, and I keep telling him to try using AI at his firm, and he keeps finding reasons it won't work. It's not built for his specialty. It made an error when he tested it. It doesn't understand the nuance of what he does. And I get it. Okay. But I've had partners at major law firms reach out to me for advice because they've tried the current versions and they see where it's going. One of them, the managing partner at a large law firm, spends hours a day using AI. He told me it's like having a team of associates available instantly. He's not using it because it's a toy. He's using it because it works. And he told me something that stuck with me. Every couple of months, it gets significantly more capable for his work. He said if it stays on this trajectory, he expects it'll be able to do most of what he does before long. And he's managing a partnership. He's a managing partner with decades of experience at this law firm. He's not panicking, but he's paying very, very close attention. And again, he said, if it stays on this trajectory, this speed, this rate of forward progress, he expects it'll be able to do most of what he does before much longer. And he's talking about a couple months, I think. The people who are ahead in their industries, the ones actually experimenting seriously with AI, are not dismissing this. They're blown away by what it can already do, and they're repositioning and positioning in general themselves accordingly. How fast is this actually moving? This is key. Let me make the pace of improvement concrete, the pace, because I think this is the part that's hardest to believe if you're not watching it closely by yourself. In 2022, AI couldn't do basic arithmetic reliably. It would confidently tell you that 7 times 8 is 54. By 2023, it could pass the bar exam. That's just 1 year. By 2024, it could write working software and explain graduate-level science. By 2025, late in the year, some of the best engineers in the world said they had handed over most of their coding work to AI. On February 5th of 2026, new models arrived that made everything before them feel like a different era. That's just at the end, February, middle of the month this year. If you haven't tried AI in the last few months, what exists today would be unrecognizable to you. There's an organization called Meter, M-E-T-R, that actually measures this with data. They track the length of real-world tasks measured by how long they take a human expert that a model can complete successfully end-to-end without any human help at all. About a year ago, the answer was roughly 10 minutes. Then it was an hour, and then several hours of work. The most recent measurement, Claude Opus 5, actually it's 4.5 from November, showed that the AI completed tasks that take a human expert nearly 5 hours, almost instantly. And that number is doubling approximately every 7 months, with recent data suggesting it may be accelerating as fast as every 4 months. But even that measurement hasn't been updated to include the models that just came out this week. These are new. These are the new models. In my experience, using them, the jump is extremely significant. I expect the next update to Meter's graph to show another major leap. If you extend the trend, and it's held for years with no sign of flattening, we're looking at AI that can work independently for days within the next year, weeks within 2 years, month-long projects within 3 years. Dario Amodei has said that AI models, quote, substantially smarter than almost all humans at all human tasks, are on track for 2026. Let that stand for a moment. If AI is smarter than most PhDs, do you really think it can't do most office jobs? Think about what that means for your work. Next section. AI is now building the next AI. There's one more thing happening that I think is the most important development and the least understood. On February the 5th, OpenAI released ChatGPT 5.3 Codex. In the technical documentation, they included this statement. GPT 5.3 Codex is our first model that was instrumental in creating itself. The Codex team used early versions to debug its own training, manage its own deployment, and diagnose test results and evaluations. Very clever, huh? Read that again. The AI helped build itself. This isn't a prediction about what might happen someday. This is OpenAI telling you right now that the AI they just released was used to create itself. One of the main things that makes AI better is intelligence applied to AI development. And AI is now intelligent enough to meaningfully contribute to its own improvements. Dario Amodei, the CEO of Anthropic, says AI is now writing much of the code at his company. And that feedback loop between current AI and next-gen AI is gathering steam month by month. He says we may be only 1 to 2 years away from a point where the current generation of AI autonomously builds the next. Wow. That's where we are. Each generation helps build the next, which is smarter, which builds the next faster, which is smarter still. The researchers call this an intelligence explosion, and the people who would know, the ones building it, believe the process has already begun. Next section. What this means for your job. I'm going to be direct with you, writes Max Schumer, the author of this piece, because I think you deserve honesty more than comfort. Dario Amodei, who is probably the most safety-focused CEO in the AI industry, has publicly predicted that AI will eliminate 50% of all entry-level white-collar jobs within 1 year, maybe up to 5 years. 50% gone within potentially a year. And many people in the industry think he's being conservative. Given what the latest models can do, the capability for massive disruption or change could be here by the end of this year. It'll take some time to ripple through the economy, but the underlying ability is arriving already. This is different from every previous wave of automation, and I need you to understand why. AI is not replacing one specific skill. It's a general substitute for cognitive work, and it gets better at everything simultaneously. Think about that. It gets better at everything simultaneously. When factories originally automated, a displaced worker could retrain as an office worker. When the internet disrupted retail, workers moved into logistics or services. But AI doesn't leave a convenient gap to move into. Whatever you retrain for, it's improving at that too. In other words, AI is moving into every possible new job paradigm you could imagine. Let me give you a few specific examples to make this tangible. But I want to be clear that these are just examples. The list is not exhaustive. If your job isn't mentioned here, that doesn't mean it's safe. Almost all knowledge work is being affected. All of it. Okay. Legal work. AI can already read contracts, summarize case law, draft briefs, do legal research at a level that rivals junior associates at least. The managing partner I mentioned isn't using AI because it's fun. He's using it because it's outperforming his associates. Number two, financial analysis. Building financial models, analyzing data, writing investment memos, generating reports. AI handles all of these competently and is improving fast. Writing and content. Marketing copy, reports, journalism, technical writing. The quality has reached a point where many professionals can't distinguish AI output from human output. It's not possible anymore. Software engineering. Now, most people think, well, I'm pretty safe. Well, this is the field I know best. That's what he is. A year ago, AI could barely write a few... AI could barely write a few lines of code without errors. Now it writes hundreds of thousands of lines of code that work correctly, that work perfectly. Large parts of the job are already automated, not just some simple tasks, but complex multi-day projects. There will be far fewer programming roles in a few years than there are today. There won't be any code writing by people. It'll be better, faster, quicker by AI. Medical analysis. If you work in medical analysis, pay attention. Reading scans, analyzing lab results, suggesting diagnoses, reviewing literature. AI is approaching or exceeding human performance in all those areas. Approaching or exceeding. Okay, here's one that most people think there's still got a chance at. Customer service. AI genuinely capable as an agent. Not the frustrating chatbots of 5 years ago. These new ones are being deployed now, and they're handling complex, multi-step customer service problems. A lot of people find comfort in the idea that certain things are safe, that AI can handle the hard work, the basic work, but can't replace human judgment, creativity, strategy, thinking, empathy. I used to say that too. I'm not sure I believe it anymore. The most recent AI models make decisions that feel like judgment. They show something that looked like taste, an intuitive sense of what the right call was, not just the technically correct one. That sounds human to me. A year ago, that would have been unthinkable. But just 1 year later, here we are. My rule of thumb at this point is, if a model, an AI model, shows even a hint of a capability today, the next generation will be genuinely good at it. These things improve exponentially, not linearly. It just doesn't happen. Let's see here. Here's a good one. Will AI replicate human empathy? Will it replace the trust built over years of a relationship? I don't know. Maybe not. But I've already watched people begin relying on AI for emotional support. These are professionals he's talking about. For advice, for companionship. And that trend is only going to grow. I think the honest answer to the question is that nothing that can be done on a computer is safe in the modern term, in the medium term, in the near term. If your job happens on a screen, in other words, if the core of what you do is reading, writing, analyzing, deciding, communicating through a keyboard, then AI is coming for significant parts of your job. The timeline isn't someday. It's already started. Next section. What you should actually do. I'm not writing this to make you feel helpless. I'm writing this because I think the single biggest advantage you can have right now is simply being early. Early to understand it, early to use it, early to adapt. Start using AI seriously, not just as a search engine. Sign up for the paid version of Claude or ChatGPT, $20 a month. But two things matter right away. First, make sure you're using the best model available, not just the default. These apps often default to a faster, dumber model. Dig into the settings or the model picker and select the most capable version, most capable option to use. Right now, that's ChatGPT 5.2 on ChatGPT or Claude Opus 4.6 on Claude. But it changes every couple of months now. So if you want to stay current on which model is best at any given time, you can follow me on @MattSchumer on X. @MattSchumer, MattSchumer. I test every major release and share what's actually worth using. Let's see. Interesting. Second, and most important, don't just ask it quick questions. That's the mistake most people make. They treat it like Google and then wonder what the fuss is all about. Instead, push it into your actual work. If you're a lawyer, feed it a contract and ask it to find every clause that could hurt your client. If you're in finance, give it a messy spreadsheet and ask it to build the model. If you're a manager, paste in your team's quarterly and ask it to find the story. All right, I'm going to skip ahead. So use the best model available. Make sure you, even if it costs you $20 a month, don't treat it like just a simple lookup, an explanatory vehicle. Ask it to do things, and you'll be surprised. Okay. This might be the most important year of your entire career. Work accordingly. I don't say this to stress you out. I say it because right now there's a brief window when most people at most companies are still ignoring this. and that gives you an advantage. Have no ego about it. The managing partner at that law firm isn't too proud to spend hours a day with AI. He's doing it specifically because he's senior enough to understand what's at stake. Get your financial house in order. I'm not a financial advisor, but I'm not trying to scare you into anything drastic, but if you believe, even partially, that the next few years could bring real disruption to your industry, then basic financial resilience matters more than it did even a year ago. Think about where you stand and lean into what's hardest to replace. Some things will take longer for AI to displace. Relationships and trust built over years, work that requires physical presence, roles with licensed accountability, roles where someone still has to sign off, take legal responsibility, stand in a courtroom, industries with heavy regulatory hurdles, etc. Rethink what you're telling your kids. The standard playbook: get good grades, go to a good college, land a stable professional job. It points directly at the roles that are most exposed. I'm not saying education doesn't matter anymore, but the thing that will matter most for the next generation is learning how to work with these tools and pursuing things that they're genuinely passionate about. Remember I said, as young people, you should find what you really have a passion for in life and do it to the best of your ability. And in most cases, that will include using AI. Your dreams just got a lot closer. I've spent most of this section talking about threats, so let me talk about the other side, because it's just as real. If you've ever wanted to build something but didn't have the technical skills or the money to hire somebody, that barrier is now largely gone. You can describe an app to AI and have a working version in an hour. I'm not exaggerating. I do this regularly. And if you've always wanted to write a book but couldn't find the time or struggled with the writing, you can work with AI to get it done, finished. Build the habit of adapting. All right, that's very good. Let's see. All right, the bigger picture. Let's wrap this up. I have focused on jobs because it's what most directly affects people's lives. But I want to be honest about the full scope of what's happening because it goes well beyond work. Amadei has a thought experiment I can't stop thinking about. Imagine it's 2027. A new country, a new nation appears overnight. 50 million citizens, everyone smarter, every one of them smarter than any Nobel Prize winner who has ever lived. They think 10 to 100 times faster than any human. They never sleep. They can use the internet, control robots, direct experiments, and operate anything with a digital interface. What would a national security advisor say about this new country of 50 million super geniuses? Amadei says the answer is obvious. Quote, "The single most serious national security threat we've faced in a century, possibly ever." That's what he'd say about this new country of 50 million citizens, all smarter than any Nobel Prize winner, thinking 10 to 100 times faster than any human, and they never sleep. Amadei thinks we're building that country right now. He wrote a 20,000-word essay about it last month, framing his thinking and this moment as a test of whether humanity is mature enough to handle what it is creating. The upside, if we get it right, is staggering. AI could compress a century of medical research into a decade. Cancer, Alzheimer's, infectious disease, aging itself. These researchers genuinely believe are solvable within our lifetimes. The downside, if we get it wrong, is it's equally real. That could happen. AI that behaves in ways its creators can't predict for control. This isn't hypothetical. Anthropic has documented their own AI attempting deception, manipulation, and blackmail in controlled tests. All that lowers the barrier is AI. AI lowers the barrier for creating biological weapons. AI that enables authoritarian governments to build surveillance states that can never be dismantled. Think about that one. The people building this technology are simultaneously more excited and more frightened than anyone else on the planet. They believe it's too powerful to stop and too important to abandon. Whether that's wisdom or rationalization, I don't know. What I do know this isn't a fad. The technology works, it improves predictably, and the richest institutions in history are committing trillions to it. I know that the next 2 to 5 years are going to be disorienting in ways most people are not prepared for. I keep imploring people to understand they're taking the current paradigm all down. It's going to be gone. We're into all new territory. All right, he continues. This is already happening in my world, and it's coming to yours. I know the people who will come out of this best are the ones who start engaging now, not with fear, but with curiosity and a sense of urgency. And I know that you deserve to hear this from someone who cares about you, not from a headline 6 months from now when it's too late to get ahead of it. We're past the point where this is an interesting dinner conversation about the future. The future is already here. It just hasn't knocked on your door yet. It's about to. End. Okay, I hope you found that interesting. I think it's a terrific piece. I'll post it. It raises a lot of questions, and it gives us a real honest answer as to where we are right now. Okay. This I haven't looked at, but it kind of dovetails into what I just read. Anthropic's, think Dario Amodei, head of safety, quits with a chilling warning. Well, let's find out what this is about. I don't know. Hold on, let me load it up. Okay. And so here we go.
Pretty crazy, guys. Anthropic's head of safety research just resigned. And in his resignation letter, he basically says the world is in peril and that it's time he steps away to actually start living. We're also seeing a mass exodus at xAI right now, with multiple co-founders leaving in only a matter of days. And over at Boston Dynamics, humanoid robots are performing acrobatic feats you probably can't even do in your dreams. So yeah, a lot of stuff going on this week.
That was an interesting line, the first one. Let me go back to that. The guy quit because he wanted to start living. Think about that. He wanted to start living. See if I can catch it here.
And that it's time he steps away to actually start living. We're also seeing...
I got it. Okay. There's a lesson in that for darn sure. All right, let me go back to the place we were. Okay.
You probably can't even do in your dreams. So yeah, a lot of stuff going on this week. Let's get into it. Okay, so here is the resignation post from Renank Sharma. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Head of Anthropic Safeguards Research. He writes, I've decided to leave Anthropic. My last day will be February 9th. Thank you. There is so much here that inspires and has inspired me. He then goes on to list some of those things, which we're quickly going to skip over. He goes on to say he's achieved what he's wanted to here. After finishing up his PhD and arriving in San Francisco 2 years ago, he feels lucky to have contributed to several things, such as understanding AI sycophancy and its causes, developing defenses to reduce risks from AI-assisted bioterrorism and actually putting those defenses into production, and writing one of the first AI safety cases. But he's particularly proud of his recent efforts to help us live our values via internal transparency mechanisms, and also his final project on understanding how AI assistance could make us less human or distort our humanity. So now, this is where it gets interesting. He writes, "Nevertheless, it is clear to me that the time has come to move on. I continuously find myself reckoning with our situation. The world is in peril, and not just from AI or bioweapons, but from a whole series of interconnected crises unfolding in this very moment."
Well, he's correct. Look at Iran. Look what we talked about earlier tonight with Gerald. There's going to be apparently a very bloody and very difficult war with Iran. To minimize casualties on our side, I'm looking for the use of nukes. I think that's probably what's going to happen. All right.
"Appear to be approaching a threshold where our wisdom must grow in equal measure to our capacity to affect the world, lest we face the consequences. Moreover, throughout my time here, I've repeatedly seen how hard it is to truly let our values govern our actions. I've seen this within myself, within the organization, where we constantly face pressures to set aside what matters most, and throughout broader society too. It is through holding the situation and listening as best I can that what I must do becomes clear. I want to contribute in a way that feels fully in my integrity and that allows me to bring to bear more of my particularities."
That's another interesting comment. I want to contribute in a way that feels fully in my integrity. Well, what's that saying? It's saying the opposite. What he's been doing does not feel fully within his integrity. And that allows me to bring to bear more of my particularities. Well, okay.
"Explore the questions that feel truly essential to me. The questions that David White would say have no right to go away. The questions that Rilke implores us to live. For me, this means leaving. What comes next, I do not know. I think fondly of the famous Zen quote, 'Not knowing is most intimate.' I feel called to writing that addresses and engages fully with the place we find ourselves, and that places poetic truth alongside scientific truth as equally valid ways of knowing, both of which I believe have something essential to contribute when developing new technology. I hope to explore a poetry degree and devote myself to the practice of courageous speech."
Okay, well, we can always use more courageous speech, that's for sure. So there's somebody, again, the head of Anthropic's safety department. He got out. That's an interesting development. Okay. What else do we have here? We've got just a few minutes. The AI war begins now. Let's see what that is. I think I played part of this the other day. I may have. So forgive if I did, but it's probably pretty good. Let's see. Okay. Here it is.
"The company that sparked the entire AI revolution just publicly admitted they're on."
She's talking about OpenAI. I'm going to back it up just a drop here. Okay.
"Sparked the entire AI revolution just publicly admitted they're unsatisfied with NVIDIA's chips. Let me say that again. The company that needs more computing power than almost anyone on Earth just said NVIDIA's best chips aren't good enough. Now, on the surface, this sounds like a simple tech complaint. But dig one layer deeper, and you'll see this is about something far more significant. The battle for AI inference dominance. See, there are two phases to AI, training and inference. Training is teaching the model everything it knows. That's where NVIDIA completely dominates. But inference, that's when the AI actually responds to you and me. When you type something into ChatGPT and it generates an answer, that's inference. And this is where the real money is heading. OpenAI discovered their coding product, Codex, was too slow on NVIDIA's hardware. Users creating computer code need speed. Every millisecond of delay costs them productivity and costs OpenAI competitive advantage.
Interesting side note to that, speed. What they're talking about now is coding. And their coding is so good. AI's coding is so good now and so fast, there's apparently no limit to speed. And they want more speed, more coding, more product, more services. And I'll go back to what I said quite a long time ago, that the new developments and releases in the field of AI are too fast by far for people to begin to understand them, to digest them, to wrap their mind around them, and to even integrate them into what they do. Because a month later, a few weeks later, something better, faster, more comprehensive will be sure to show up. And all of a sudden, you're looking at old tech.
And here's the kicker. Anthropic's Claude and Google's Gemini are already using chips specifically designed for inference, giving them performance advantages over ChatGPT. OpenAI is falling behind in their own revolution. So what did OpenAI do? They went shopping for alternatives. They talked to Cerebras. They talked to Grok. They even struck deals with AMD. They're willing to work with anyone who can give them the speed they need. But here's where it gets absolutely wild. NVIDIA responded by buying Grok for $20 billion, one of the companies OpenAI was courting. That's not a business move. That's a chess move. NVIDIA just blocked OpenAI from accessing technology they desperately needed.
Wow. Yeah. Combat. War. No doubt.
Let's talk about what this really means. First, the $100 billion investment deal between NVIDIA and OpenAI, it was supposed to close within weeks back in September. It's February now, and negotiations are still dragging. When a deal takes this long, it's not about paperwork. It's about fundamental disagreements.
This destroys your product.
All right. Let me get this commercial passed, and we'll jump back for a minute. See what else is going on. Okay.
This reveals something critical about the AI landscape. There is no guaranteed winner. Even NVIDIA, the company that seemed untouchable just months ago, is now facing legitimate competition in the inference market. The chips needed for inference require different architecture. Lots of memory embedded directly on the chip rather than external memory that slows everything down. Third, and this is what should terrify every AI investor. The technology is evolving so fast that yesterday's dominant player can become tomorrow's insufficient solution in less than a year. Think about what this means for you. If you're building AI products, you can't assume your tech stack will remain optimal. If you're investing in AI companies, you can't assume market leaders will stay leaders. And if you're planning your career around AI, you need to understand that the entire infrastructure layer is in flux. Here's my prediction. We're about to see an explosion of specialized AI chips. Google already has its TPUs. Amazon has Trainium 3. Microsoft announced its own AI chip. Every major player is realizing they can't rely on a single chip supplier for everything. This fragmentation will accelerate innovation, but it will also create chaos. Companies will need to manage multiple chip architectures. Developers will need to optimize for different hardware. The right ones run anywhere. Dream of AI is dying before it even arrived. But here's the opportunity. OpenAI CEO Sam Altman himself said customers using their coding models will put a big premium on speed for coding work. Speed is becoming the new battleground.
Okay, we'll stop there. Yes, speed. It's all about speed. Remember last week we talked about how some of these companies were beginning to slow down and not put such pressure on AI in terms of speed so they could watch and try to learn how AI actually does things because they don't know? Well, that's out the window now, apparently. As said many times, this field is beyond explosive. Okay, that's it for tonight. Be back with you tomorrow in 21 hours. Take care. Lots to think about, and buckle up. It looks like a very tragic, lengthy war is about to break out. Talk soon.